Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you, for me to praise God. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And today we come to remember the passing of Meta Johnston. But according to this book, she's with the Lord today. We mourn. She rejoices. She's made it home. Is God. I want to welcome you all this afternoon to the service of thanksgiving for the life of a dear member of this church, Mrs. Meta Johnston. And your attendance today is very much appreciated by the family who are here for your prayers, for your calls, for all your consideration at this time. Perhaps we can bow in a word of prayer. And let's look to the Lord just for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow here today, we thank Thee, O Lord, for the cross. We thank You, O Lord, for the message which Meta long ago fully embraced and clung to for her salvation. We are thankful, Lord, that although she was clinging to Thee in truth, Lord, You were the one holding on to her. We thank You, Lord, for the message of the gospel that we can continue to declare and to base our faith upon. And Lord, today we pray for this service. It is a difficult task, Lord, to stand around one who has passed on. Not only, Lord, because the end of life is very clearly presented to us, but furthermore, the sense of loss over one who is dearly loved. We pray, Lord, particularly for her three sons today and for the immediate family circle. The Lord, You would encourage them, give them strength to go through even the service today and the days hereafter. We pray, Lord, for everyone in attendance, will You give grace, and You would speak to our souls, for those who join us online across the world, that, Lord, there too in their homes, You would remember them, the folk over in New Zealand and elsewhere. Lord, bless us today. Grant us Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. On behalf of the congregation of Larne Free Presbyterian Church, I want to express sympathy, first of all, to Meta's three sons, David and your wife, to Samuel, and also to Kenneth at this time. Also to Tom, Meta's brother, and then Betty, Meta's niece, and her family who's here today as well. And to the whole family circle at this time of loss. Meta was a dear lady, a good and a faithful mother. There is no doubt about that. And as a congregation, we lose a loved and valued member of our church. Meta sat usually to my right down there in latter years in her wheelchair as her sons would have wheeled her in and out. And we were honestly glad to see her. Our lasting memory of Meta will be her genuine vigor and faithfulness in coming to the house of God in spite of so many difficulties. Sometimes a little sniffle or takes very little to prevent people coming to the house of God. Meta sat there in pain, struggling to get ready, but she wanted to be in the house of God, with the people of God. And she is a tremendous example to this congregation. And that example will be desperately lost. We are thankful for the years the Lord gave to her and for her participation here over recent years. Mita, of course, was able to live at home. That was because of her home help, and particularly the help of the two sons that were still at home, Ken and Samuel, who were able to give her that, well, desirable conclusion of being at home until she was taken into hospital just on Wednesday past, and then on the Lord's Day. We were up in the afternoon, and just before I had arrived, she'd gone home to glory. She didn't wait for me. She was keen to go home to glory. Not to see the Lord's minister on earth, but to see her Lord who died for her and gave his life for her. I do have a letter to read out, believe it or not, from New Zealand. I heard someone say that, so somebody obviously knows about the family in New Zealand. And Mita did mention the family she had in New Zealand in the past to me, and I know they're watching online today, and we warmly welcome you, of course. It is early in the morning there, 1 o'clock, I believe, or so. In loving memory of Mita, a dearly loved sister of the late John Crawford and sister-in-law of Margaret from New Zealand, we are sorry we are unable to join with you all today personally, but with the live stream, it makes it feel very close and personal to be with you all in spirit. Anyway, I will be watching the service today, even though it is 1 a.m. Thursday morning here in New Zealand, as we are at present 13 hours ahead of you. Your New Zealand family join in with you, the family, Auntie Margaret, and your two cousins, Heather and Catherine. Sorry, Heather and Karen. To the family, my nephews and cousins, David, Samuel, and Kenneth, and brother-in-law, Thomas, thinking of you all at this very sad time, even though we are on the other side of the world, we send to you all with our love and prayers at this time. I was very lucky to have had the opportunity to have met Mita twice on her two visits to New Zealand. I didn't know she was in New Zealand twice. I was impressed by that. I haven't got that far yet. So two visits to New Zealand on the marriage of her two nieces' weddings, Heather, Karen, in October 1998, or her niece Heather's wedding, and January 2006, Karen's wedding. The first visit, Mita was joined by her sister Essie and brother-in-law Herbie, and had 6 weeks in New Zealand. Her second visit was for 6 weeks. Visit in 2005, 2006, including having a New Zealand Christmas with her New Zealand extended family. And we remember her saying it was a very different way of food that we have it in the summer with salads, etc., and with pavlova for desserts, not the winter food that Mita was accustomed to. A little bit different from more hot chocolates and turkey and all the rest of it. She enjoyed her two visits with seeing some of our New Zealand scenery, visiting local scenery, and enjoying her time with the extended family. We used to have wonderful conversations and long phone calls, but not of late, to catch up with each other. Then the computer changed that. Margaret would send her Christmas letter by email each year to Mita through Kenneth for the things that we would have done during the year to keep in touch. It was wonderful that Mita met up with Heather in 2019 on her visit to Northern Ireland, and meeting up with her cousins also. An opportunity I would have loved to meet you all, but maybe on the other side in New Zealand. Through Kenneth, through Messenger on Facebook, at Christmas 2022, Kenneth told me Mita's health was not so good. And what would we do without social media to keep up to date? It was the greatest pleasure of meeting Mita, and it was a real shame John died before meeting up again on her two visits to New Zealand. But John, on her second visit to New Zealand, but John did meet the family on his visit, on his mother's death in 1986, and had not been home for 25 years, where he spent 6 weeks. Mita is now at peace, and no more pain of arthritis, and with her Lord till we meet again. Your loving sister-in-law, Margaret. That's a lovely note from her. We trust the Lord will comfort and encourage you as you mourn from afar the loss of this dear loved one. Allow me just now to bring a word of tribute about Mita. We spent some time with the family, just going over many memories and circumstances of the past. And we begin with her birth. Mita was born in Machernmorne, raised then in Loughmorne. She attended Loughmorne School, then Solitober School thereafter. Now, wee Mita, as I'll call it at this point, wee Mita loved school in a rather unusual way. She loved school so much that her older brother, obviously a few years ahead of her, and therefore would have stayed in school for longer hours. Well, wee Mita just hung around school waiting for big brother because she loved school so much. And even when it came to leaving school, I am told that she wept bitterly at the prospect of not coming back to school. I have never in all my years heard anybody say that now, I have to say. So she invalued her education. Now, you would think that wee Mita was a very good and innocent child. And I'm sure she was. And I'm sure she was a delight to her parents. But I was informed of one occasion when she nipped in to the neighbour's field to have a wee taste at the turnips that were growing in the vegetable garden. And she nibbled at one or two. And that situation might help us to understand something that happened around that same time, because she was walking along the road and there was a man clenching a spade, jumped up from behind a hedge and growled at Mita with such ferocity that she turned on her heels, sprinted home and stayed in her house. We suspect that was the man who planted the turnips and he was chasing her before she got too close. There was another occasion. As a child, she was pretending to be a mummy. She was getting in practice from her early days, and she was pushing a pram. And at some point, she was coming down a hill. The circumstances we don't know, but the pram got away from her. She let it go. Maybe she lost her step, we don't know. But anyway, the pram went hurtling down a hill into a stream. That's not all that big of a deal until you understand that just prior to the pram going down the hill, she had placed her relative Essie in the pram. And so the pram went hurtling down with Essie in it and came to a conclusion in a wee stream. I believe everyone was well and the story did not come to a bad ending, rather amusing. But undoubtedly, her sons were glad that she made those mistakes early in her life and not when she was mothering them. She also attended Loughmorne Sunday School and Blackwoods Sunday School. Although she stopped going to the Sunday school, and interestingly and amusingly, one of her Sunday school teachers came and said to her, "Martha, are you too tall to go under the Sunday school door now?" He's indicating, "Why are you not coming? Is it because you've grown up?" And of course, I don't know what way she responded to that, but I thought that was a witty remark indeed. Mita, of course, grew up. She worked, first of all, in Amblers in Mossley. then in the PYE pie factory here in Larne. She was also in St. John's Ambulance. She worked, I didn't actually know this until the family had mentioned, she worked in Rathmore House. That's the old B&B centre, and I'm sure that most of us know where that is. And she did some housekeeping there. Now, I was told, and I wouldn't doubt this for a moment, Meeta, being an industrious woman, didn't just brush around the furniture. She liked to get under it, behind it, and get right into the corners and to make sure the job was thoroughly done. She was a good worker and a hard worker, and her final job then was providing home help for a neighbour where she lived. And there she concluded her working, finishing up serving a dear neighbour. Finished work, and I believe, was in the 90s. And of course, Meeta had many pains and aches and suffered dreadfully in many ways, but did what she could for as long as she could. I mention something now about her marriage. She married Samuel Johnston in 1962. They were married in Carrickfergus, and that was North Street Presbyterian they were married in. Samuel and Meeta then attended Gardenmoor Presbyterian, then the Elam, and then finally here in Larne Free Presbyterian Church since the 70s. During all of those years, they lived in Recreation Road with a beautiful sea view, up until more recently when they moved to Greenland Crescent. Well, that was actually in 2007 they moved there. Sadly, Martha Johnston was no stranger to death, as she lost her dear husband, 1986. And she described herself to her children, she described herself as just feeling numb. And that's a description that many a person uses after they lose a spouse. Losing a spouse is one of the greatest challenges of life. And she went through that. Her boys have memories of days and trips away on holidays here and there. Also, and I emphasize surprisingly, I know Meeta for 11 years, almost 11 years. And I was surprised at this one because Kenneth was telling me that she was fond of watching the occasional football match, particularly matches between Liverpool and Manchester. Now, I want to preface this statement by saying it was a Liverpool supporter who told me this. So I don't know how accurate it actually is, but I'm sure it is. That she enjoyed watching Liverpool and Manchester, especially when Liverpool beat Manchester. And she always had a good laugh at Alex Ferguson, his response to those matches. Meeta did have, certainly, a good sense of humour. And we often enjoyed sitting with her, laughing over many different things. One matter I have deliberately left to the end of this tribute, and that is Meeta's conversion, salvation. It was a great delight when one of her sons brought me out a little Bible. It's a wee small pocket Bible, and on the front of the Bible, there was the name of an evangelist, James R. Thompson. And underneath that, there was a date, 23rd of May, 1962. Then when you go to the back of the Bible, what I assume was Meeta's handwriting, it was written again that this was the date of her conversion, 23rd of May, 1962, at an evangelistic meeting. And she was at the age of 27 years. God changed. She repented of her sin. She walked with God right to the day the Lord took her home. And she will not regret calling upon the Lord and trusting in Him all those years ago. Her sons remember their mother sitting down with them at night when they're in their beds, tucked in. And then she would recite the Lord's Prayer to them. They also remember being tucked in, and if they weren't asleep and filling around, they might feel the gentle crack of a brush to persuade them to settle down, I believe, as well. They also, I should say, remember a wet kiss on very many occasions as they were nodding off. Mita was a woman who knew the Lord, and that was very evident to me as her minister. And it is sad because of the passing, yet it is a delight that we know today she's gone to be with the Savior and with her God. If you would, take your order of service, please. And we'll sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." What I want to then do is just bring a brief message from the Word of God from Psalm 116. And we'll have a word of prayer together. So we'll first of all sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd, He Makes Me Down." We'll get the introduction, and then we'll stand together. Be seated. If you would, and if you do have a copy of God's Word, you could turn with me to the book of the Psalms, and the Psalm 116. The Psalm 116. We'll commence our reading at the verse number 1. Psalm 116, verse 1. "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious, there's the Lord. And righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We'll end our reading there, at the verse 15. And that is the text I want to particularly leave with you. Let's take a moment just to seek the Lord, please, again. Our Lord and our God, we are thankful that we can come to the Word of God on all occasions. And Lord, this text is particularly outstanding, particularly comforting today. And we pray, Lord, you will speak to our hearts now. There will be many in this congregation who are even reminded of recent bereavements as well. Lord, may thy word be a comfort to us all. We rejoice in a great and a loving God. Be with us now, we pray. Amen and amen. There are many things that we would call precious in life. You might think on your family, your spouse. You might think upon friends or even health. There are lots of things that you and I would call precious. This text talks about the death of a saint being precious. The Bible speaks of many things as being precious, and of course the word precious means something of immense value, of great importance, of great significance. That's what the word precious means. The Word of God speaks about wisdom as being precious. Proverbs 3:15, it literally says that wisdom is precious. That's an important truth. Shouldn't be foolish. Don't be naive. Don't just go with the crowd, but in the words of Scripture, we would encourage you to be wise, consider and think where you're going, what life is all about. Ponder and consider and be wise with your life. Mita had, I think it's fair to say, a simple, childlike faith. She trusted the Lord. I don't think Mita would have read, for example, Burkhoff's systematic theology. He wouldn't have been studying, perhaps, eschatology. She loved the Lord. And she knew that the Lord loved her. That simple childlike faith. But she was wise concerning her own soul. Proverbs also tells us that the substance of a diligent man is precious. What a man works for, what a woman works for, when they achieve it, they earn it. Well, it's precious to them because they had to put time and effort into it. The Book of Lamentations says there that the people of God are precious. The people of God are precious to the Lord. Perhaps if you have your Bible, keep your finger there in Psalm 116. But if I can, take you over to 1 Peter, because 1 Peter is full of precious things. And that's easy to remember. You have Peter with all the precious things. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, and the verse number 4, says here, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And that verse is talking about Jesus Christ, that he is precious to God the Father.
Christ is precious to God the Father. But if you go on down to verse 7, it indicates that Christ is precious to us because he is our Savior. And again, that was true of Mita. The Lord was precious to Mita. That's why she sat down with her sons and she recited the Lord's Prayer with them. It was because Christ was precious to her. Christ was of great value to her. That was clear from her attendance in the house of God. 1 Peter, again, we're in chapter 1 on this occasion, the verse 19, and it says there, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's referring to how we are saved. We are not saved with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means Christ shed his blood on the tree. He was paying a price for us. By his blood, our sins are forgiven. It's very much like going into the shop and purchasing goods. There must be a price paid. Christ literally paid for our salvation, for our forgiveness, by suffering and dying for us. That's salvation. And so the blood of Christ is precious to us. That's why at the Lord's table, as Mita regularly met, it was no uncommon thing to see Mita faithfully here on the first Lord's day of the month. I always noted that. I knew rightly that she might not make it other weeks, sick and sore and unable, but when it came to the first Sunday of the month, the Lord's table, it was rare she wasn't here. It's always an encouragement. As I sat in my study, I would see the car pulling up and Mita struggling out of the car, being wheeled in the wheelchair, sitting there on my right, struggling to even hold the cup in her hand, struggling to see and manage the piece of bread, but she was there because Christ was precious to her and the blood of Christ was precious to her, for he shed it for her. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it speaks about faith as being precious. 2 Peter 1 and the verse 4 speaks about precious promises that we have. So the Bible has a lot of instances where it speaks about precious things, and you can see why all those things are precious. Christ and his blood and the promises and all he's done for us. But what does it mean in Psalm 116? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why is someone's death precious in God's eyes? Well, again, the word precious, it means of great value. It means when the Lord witnesses one of his saints, one of his children, passing as Mita did on Sunday afternoon, that was not a light occasion in heaven. It was precious. It was weighty. It was significant. That's what the verse means. It was significant to God. And most of you didn't even know what was happening. Lord, that was of great significance. You see, there will be people, both now at this stage of Mita's passing and when you pass away, there will be people who will come and they'll express sympathy to you. They'll say, I'm sorry to hear of your loss. And then they will go on their way. They go to live their own life. That's because maybe this passing or your passing might not be all that significant to them. They might know you and that's all there is to it. But to those who love you most, your passing is very much significant. And that is why, well, it's one of the reasons here. This is why the Lord views the death of Mita and of his people as precious, because the Lord loves his people. The Lord loved Mita. And I know that because Mita loved the Lord. We're told in scriptures that we love him because he first loved us. I know that the Lord loved Mita because he drew Mita to himself and he saved her soul there at the age of 27. Now today, there is no one who will feel the loss of this dear woman more than her three sons. Other family members thereafter and in the wider family and church members. But no one will feel it more than her three sons. And it is the exact same with the Lord. The three sons loved her most. And that's why they feel it. For the Lord Lord loved her dearly and witnessed her last breath. I didn't. She did.
It's not so long ago. I can't remember if it was in church or in the prayer meeting behind me. It was the prayer meeting behind me. I can recall it clearly now, actually. It was one of the occasions when she came with us recently to the prayer meeting, and we sang Jesus Love Me. It was appropriate for that prayer meeting because we were dealing with a matter in regards to our children's work, and that was the theme of the sermon. So she was there, and we sang Jesus Loves Me. Amita couldn't stand. She couldn't hold a hymn book. She couldn't see the words in the hymn book. So often she would have sat, whether it's there or in the hall behind me, and she would have tried to sing along as best she could. But I noticed that Wednesday, as on other occasions, she sang every word of it. And for Mita, she was singing it with gusto. She was. And it encouraged me that night. And it always encouraged me to see her sing on my right, and we'll come to the chorus of a hymn, and she would light up as best she could, sing it heartily. I saw that. She didn't know I was watching her. She wasn't aware that I was observing her, but I watched and I was thrilled. That's true of the Lord as well. The Lord watches us, our hearts, our worship of Him, and we're precious to Him. He loves us. That's why the passing of this dear lady is precious to Him. Secondly, the death of the saints are precious to the Lord, not only because He loved them, but because He died. That's why Christ came. We just celebrated Christmas. And the Johnsons had their tree up for the Christmas season. And, of course, it reminds us of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's not be in error here. Many people will dote about the babe in the manger, but understand that babe came to die. That's the reality. That babe was born in Bethlehem because that was the birthplace of the Messiah, and He would come to live a perfect life and die for sinners such as us. And what a mind-blowing truth that God would become man to die so that Mita could live forever. Heaven. That is the reality. He died for her. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. As Christ did for Mita. He died to deliver all those who call upon Him, that they would be saved from sin and from hell and from the sorrows of life hereafter in a lost eternity. And Mita was saved. She's not lost today. She's in glory. Not paying for her sins, for Christ has already paid it. Thirdly and finally, the death of God's people is precious in His sight because He prayed that they would come home to be with Him. In recent days, we observed the portion of God's word. I'm going to turn to it right now in John 17. Here you have the Lord Jesus Christ praying. And He literally prays that His people, for whom He has died, would come home to be with Him in glory. John 17, the verse 24, these are the words of Christ. He said, Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am. That prayer was prayed almost 2,000 years ago. And it was answered for Mita Sunday afternoon when the Lord took her home to be with her Savior. There are false religions that talk about people dying and you might be here on a paradise on earth and the Lord's up there in heaven somewhere. I can tell you with absolute authority, this book over and over and over again emphasizes that those for whom Christ died will be with Him. Not at a distance from Him, but with Him in glory. We read John, well, we quoted John 14 at the beginning. That's what it says there. You will be with Me. Here it is again.
absent from the body, present with the Lord. In the book of Philippians, we will be with him. And that this is the thing, and it's so hard for us to grasp today, but Mita is there. Singing. Her body's here. Her soul's with the Lord. She knows, as I often say, she knows far more about theology now. She could teach Louis Burkhoff, who wrote Systematic Theology. He certainly could teach us. Just in conclusion then, let me say, for Psalm 116 and the verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Of his saints. That's very significant. It's those who are his saints. That's who's precious. That's whose death is precious in his sight. What does it mean to be a saint? Well, a saint means that you're a sinner. A sinner forgiven. A sinner who has sought the Lord for salvation. A sinner who has confessed their sins, repented of their sins, and seeking to go on with God. And the Lord changes you, gives you new desires. Mita had a desire to go on with God, to be in God's house, to seek to know more about the Lord. The Lord gave her those desires. And that's what it is to be saved. That's what it is to be a saint. You're a sinner. You're not perfect. None of us are. But we're sinners who have confessed our sin and Jesus Christ has forgiven us. You too can be a saint today. You can know what it is to have peace with God and be on the road heading heavenward, homeward. Mita was a saint. Not in the sense you see it on television or in magazines about someone with a halo above their head and being perfect. She wasn't, neither are we. She followed Christ, one of his own, and therefore when she died, her death was precious. What about you today? If you were to die, would the Lord see your death as precious? Are you ready to go home to the Lord? Are you saved? Or would your funeral be altogether different? Because with no guarantee, you would be in heaven. In fact, you cannot be unless you're in Christ. We will miss Mita in this congregation, but we're glad she's with the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll close with our final hymn. Let's pray, first of all. Our Lord and our God, thank you so much for your grace in Mita's life. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy toward her. And we have no reason, therefore, to have no hope today, because we are confident that being in the arms of Jesus Christ, therefore she'll be with thee now. We pray for her family as they mourn her loss. Lord, you would give them grace. And Lord, we would earnestly pray that everyone here would enjoy Mita's experience of being saved, not having to fear death. Mita never feared death. She knew where she was going. And we pray that will be everyone's testimony here. Thank you, Lord, for saving her three sons. We know that thrilled Mita to no end. And Lord, there's not a mother or father who is a child of thine would not be thrilled to see household salvation. Thank you, Lord, for that great gift you gave to this dear lady. Be with us now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. And amen. And you know, I couldn't help just but be thrilled by that reality. And funny, a chap was just texting this week concerning this very truth as well. It's lovely that she had household salvation before she went to be with the Lord. Her three sons saved. And what a tribute that is to her prayerfulness and her faithfulness and to God's goodness. We'll stand to sing this final hymn on our hymn sheet in the sweet by and by. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Please remain standing after we sing this hymn. We will then proceed to the committal, which will be in Larne Cemetery immediately after the service. And refreshments are also served here in the church. And so if you're waiting behind, you're able to go and partake of them. And the family will return from the committal, and you can express your words of sympathy there as well. So let's stand together to sing this hymn, and then remain standing, please. Of course, welcome to join us at the cemetery or remain here for refreshments. Thank you.